All right, we're going back east. If there is a team that is sort of in the news today, at least in the beginning of the baseball season, and not necessarily in a positive light, although they do have a lot of expectations, it's the Philadelphia Phillies. Gabe Kapler is the manager. The general manager seems to have scripted out maybe the first couple of weeks of the season back in November. Pitching changes galore. Manager being booed on opening day. Only one guy who can talk about it. He's a J.G. Taylor Spink Award winner, a veteran formerly with the MLB, MLB.com, one of the great sports writers of all time, and that is Paul Hagan. Paul joins us from Philadelphia. Paul, how are you?
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
Very good, very good. I gave a little bit of a build-up there to the story about the Phillies, and maybe you could fill us in a little bit about the expectations and what has happened the first week.
Well, I think there were some expectations coming into this season. You know, coming off of last year, which was a disappointing season, but I think we all felt that the rebuilding process was underway, but not really at a point where we were going to see a turnaround. And then when general manager Matt Klentak fired Pete Cannon as manager at the end of the year, I think at least in people's mind that sort of accelerated the timetable for what the Phillies could expect. You know, normally you don't change managers until you think you're ready to turn things around. And then the Phillies did go out and sign Carlos Santana, the first baseman, to a $60 million contract. And late in spring training got Jake Arrieta for $75 million for 3 years. So that plus the new manager, I think, did sort of raise expectations a little bit, not to mention the fact that Rhys Hoskins will be here for a full year. J.P. Crawford, who was the number one prospect for a couple of years, was going to become the everyday shortstop. So, yeah, I do think that expectations were raised here a little bit.
Talking to Paul Hagan here, and Paul, I got a question for you about the clubhouse and about the guys on the team here. Marty and I sort of joked last week about can you lose a team in three games based on how he was going about managing the team. They're doing the shifts, and nobody's there to field a double play opportunity at second, and pitchers aren't warming up. Nick Williams had the comment this week about it's not up to him. Maybe the computers are making the lineup and whatnot. What's the feeling right now in the clubhouse, or is this just getting blown up right now by national media?
Well, I think that, you know, when Gabe Kapler was hired, we all knew that he was going to be unconventional. And I think the sort of the thing that everybody thought at the time was this could really be a great move or it could blow up spectacularly. In spring training, Gabe Kapler was doing a lot of switching the outfielders between at-bats, you know, using a lot of pitchers. And I think it all kind of depended. You know, my thought was, I'm old. I'm an old school guy. I don't really care for this, but I also realize that it really doesn't matter what I think. All that matters is how the guys in the clubhouse feel about it, and if they buy in or not. Well, clearly, Gabe got off to a bad start. In the first game, Aaron Nola was sailing along, number one starter, 68 pitches, gets pulled from the game. Phillies end up losing. Third game, he goes to bring Hobie Milner in from the bullpen, and the only problem is Hobie Milner wasn't warming up. So I think that was the one. You know, you can certainly argue, I know the big thing with managers these days is the third time through the lineup. They don't like their starting pitcher to face a lineup for the third time. So I guess you could make a sabermetric argument for taking Nola out, although it certainly didn't work out very well. There's obviously no excuse for going out and trying to put a pitcher into the game who hasn't warmed up yet. So I think that put a lot of focus on the manager in the first three games. Then they go to New York. A couple of defensive shifts didn't work out, as you mentioned. That doesn't bother me so much. I mean, I think we all understand that defensive shifts are only supposed to play the percentages. They're not going to work every time, but you hope that over the course of several games or a season that you're going to get more outs than you give up hits. So, you know, I think the biggest thing was I think Gabe Kapler has understood that even come to understand that even with a nine-man bullpen, you can't just go to the bullpen every time you want to.
Boy, great summary from Paul Hagan. J.G. Taylor Spink Award winner and one of the great sports writers, baseball writers, Paul, of all time. He got a great legacy of writers in Philadelphia. I got to meet the great Alan. Remember Alan Lewis? I got to meet him.
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, Alan was well before my time, but I did meet him toward the end of his career, yeah.
Yeah, I got to meet him, and, of course, many, many wonderful sports writers in Philadelphia. It's a great baseball town and sports town. You had a good moment before the opener when the coach of the Eagles threw out the first pitch. How about that? That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, it was. It was a really big deal in Philadelphia when the Phillies won the World Series for the first time in 1980, and again when they won it in 2008. But I think not just that the Eagles won their first Super Bowl this year, but the way they did it with Carson Wentz as the quarterback, and he gets hurt, and the backup Nick Foles takes over. He doesn't play well in the last couple games of the regular season, then he catches fire in the postseason. And Doug Peterson, you know, a lot of people have made this comparison to Charlie Manuel. You know, when Charlie Manuel first became manager of the Phillies, he was ridiculed in a lot of ways, and as was Doug Peterson last year. Then Charlie wins the World Series. Doug Peterson wins the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think it was a really nice moment.
Is Gabe Kapler under a microscope now? Because you said it very well, and that is things that happen in baseball really are projected over 162. To see over the long haul that certain moves will work out, shifts or matchups and things like that. Is Kapler on a shorter leash because of the beginning, or Philly's comfortable? Let's just see how this thing plays out.
Well, that's a great question, and I really don't know the answer to it for a few reasons. You know, one, I think that fans can obviously influence what teams do. I go back to when Ed Wade was fired as general manager. I don't think the Phillies wanted to do that, but I think they felt that their fan base had become a little bit alienated, and I think that the fans certainly had a hand in that. So certainly, if the fans tune out to the Phillies and get totally turned off on the manager, that will have an influence. I also think you have to understand that they have a new control person. John Middleton is the owner who really runs things now. On the one hand, he is enamored of advanced analytics. He loves the sabermetric angle of the game. On the other hand, he's very impatient and wants to win. So I don't really know how that comes into play. Matt Klentak, the first-time general manager, you know, when he fired Pete McCannon, Andy McPhail, the team president, told him, you know, you can do this because you're the general manager, but a general manager only gets so many manager hires. So the question, you know, becomes, I mean, I know that Matt Klentak on the record is 100% behind Gabe Kapler, and I have no reason to believe he's not. But at the same time, you know, he has a little skin in this game, too.
Paul, what's the general feeling here from the fans right now? Are they frustrated? Because it seemed like coming in there was tons of excitement. As you said, Rhys Hoskins last year, you add Santana, Nola's emerging as an ace, and then they add Jake Arrieta. The fans had something to get excited about, and then you've got Kapler now after these blunders saying he's expecting to be in the playoffs this year. Are the fans viewing this as like a real guarantee, or are they frustrated and this just seems like a cop-out?
I think that fans were reacting just to the moment in the first and third games, right, to Nola being taken out and Milner not being warmed up when he got called into the game. I think Philadelphia fans as a whole understand what a long season it is and how you can't place too much emphasis on, you know, one or two games early in the season, as egregious as, you know, the bullpen mix-up might have been. I think fans understand that. So as frustrated as they may have been and upset as they may have been that first series when everything seemed to go wrong, I think Phillies fans are smart enough to understand that, you know, it really would be silly to rush to a judgment 5 games into the season.
Well, we get Arrieta tomorrow. We'll see what that should be an exciting moment for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting. Everybody can just look at the numbers and see that he has not been the pitcher the last 2 years that he was the year before that, and his velocity's down and that sort of thing. But the Phillies committed $75 million to him over the next 3 years and based it a lot on the fact that he pitched better in the second half of last year. You know, so I think for an organization that has become very analytically inclined, this will be a big test of how their analytics department has judged this.
Well, this is going to be fun. The Mets won today against the Nationals again, 3-2. So they're off to the best start in their franchise history. And the Giants, starting May 4th and ending up on May the 13th, go to Atlanta for three, Phillies for four, and Pittsburgh for three. Maybe the three, well, two of the three hottest teams in the National League. And the Phillies, who knows what will be happening by then. But, Paul, we'll look forward to having you on when the Giants are in Philly. And who knows, that could be an interesting series. Phillies may have it together by then.
Well, we certainly hope so.
Very good. Well, enjoy having you on, Paul, and thanks so much as always. Always happy to have you.
Thank you, Marty. Happy to do it.
All right. That is Paul Hagan. Very good.